It's good. Let's do a little tribute to you dads. Amen. Now, Billy Graham once said that fathers are among the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most, if not the most, important asset and valuable asset in our society. He went on to say, this was an interview, by the way, he went on to say the greatest tribute that a boy can give to his father is to say, when I grow up, Dad, I want to be just like you. How convicting that is to many fathers, many grandfathers. Fathers must feel a great deal of pressure when they hear those words. That's a time when fathers have the opportunity to come before the Lord and ask Him for wisdom and strength, the type that it takes to be the kind of man that his son wants to be or his daughter wants to be like. God is your partner. He'll help you. Don't turn away from Him. Hallelujah. He's your benefactor. And if a father has a need to be a better father, he only needs to turn to the very best, the Heavenly Father. God is interested in fulfilling your need to be that dad that your child needs you to be. This goes for fathers and grandfathers alike. Am I hearing a hum there? Ah, oh, air conditioner. Don't you love it? I say grandfathers because my own brother is raising his very own grandson, and he's doing it as if he's his very own son. He's involved, interested, and genuinely intrigued by how Trevor is maturing into a fine young man. And he really is. My brother's done a great job. My brother led me to the Lord. He can raise the dead, I'm telling you. To fulfill the responsibility of correcting our children in such a way as to let them know it's because I love you is a balancing act that requires an open heart to the author of wisdom and grace. A great father gives his children a greater vision of life without diminishing their personality and gifts. A great father teaches them the lessons that will cultivate them and help them utilize their gifts, their individual personalities and traits. A great father is like a silent partner in a business who's behind the scenes, who never takes credit for the correction and the outcome of that correction, the counsel and the advice that it was needed, or the vision he gave them, or the lessons he taught them, the things that he provided for them, and the nurturing that established them in an understanding of life. A great father isn't a loud personality or a voice that drowns out all the other opinions and other people. A great father teaches his children to value others and to learn from differing opinions in order for him, the son, to find what the truth really is. He teaches them how to be wise and win people over to the Lord. A great father doesn't just serve as an example to his children. He is the example. And he is the example to all, to where his children know and admire him and are inspired to be like him. A great father simply knows that he, once being a child himself, knew that his dad let him take the credit for all those things that were done behind the scenes, hoping that his children would one day turn around and say to him, "Happy Father's Day, Dad. I couldn't have done it without you." Amen. Amen. A lot of lessons to be learned in that. You can go on our website, too, and get that. That was recorded, right, Phil? Good. Praise God. Happy Father's Day. It comes once a year. It should be more than that. Every day. And when pressure mounts up, turn to God. You're not alone. You're never alone. Oh, I saw a movie not too long ago, Heaven is for Real, about that little kid who went to heaven. His father was a preacher. And he said, people need to know that they're not alone. You're never alone. Amen. So we're continuing our series here, The Process of Manifestation, and today we're talking about the conception process. Did you know you have a lot to do with miracles? You have a lot to do with a lot of things of God, because without you, He can't do it. He needs your cooperation. He needs you to receive what He says, His word, and that word needs to germinate in you and grow up and become greater than your sickness, greater than your need, whatever that need is. It's the word of God that produces it. Turn with me in your Bibles while you're turning there to 1 John chapter 1, and let's go over our weekly confession here. Ready? Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases Him. This word is God speaking to me. God, the word is God. The word is God. So in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have what? Heard. Which we have what? Seen with our eyes. Which we have what? And our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, John, the apostle who wrote this, he saw Jesus. He heard Jesus. He looked upon Jesus. He touched Jesus. It says he was lying on his breast at the Last Supper. He was very close, very. But John didn't write this just to say, look what I did. I heard Jesus. I looked at Jesus. I saw Jesus. I handled Him. No, he's revealing a scriptural principle here. In this verse is the process of manifestation. When you, what comes by hearing? Faith. Everybody, what comes by hearing? Faith. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10, 17. You can write that down. That which we have heard. Now, this is why you got to keep hearing and hearing and hearing, because faith doesn't come because you have heard. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. But he's waking up a principle here. We hear, faith comes. That causes us to see through the eye of faith. Now we start seeing problems, things that are coming at us through the eye of faith. Now we have God's ability working in us. Now we have God's resources, the heaven's kingdom of heaven's principles are working for us. This is what we begin to see. And as we look upon, meditate on, declare with our mouth, that's part of meditation, is muttering, saying. It's actually vocalizing these things. And whatever is building in your heart to say it with your mouth, then it gets planted down in your heart again and it starts growing. It's a multiplication process, which we have looked upon, meditated on. Now you handle it. Now it manifests. In fact, it's the very next verse says, for the life was what? This is all about manifestation. It's the process of manifestation, which we have seen and bear witness and reveal, show to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Manifestation happens twice in that verse. He's trying to get something over to us. Life, the Christian life is not about trying to get something you don't have. It's not about working for something in order to, no. It's accepting the fact that you have been made accepted in the Beloved. And it's about manifesting those good things that are in us because we're in Christ. And as we acknowledge those things, that's when our faith becomes effective. Verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard, we what?
Declare.
We declare to you. Now it's important that you declare what you have heard, what you have seen, what you have looked upon, what you have handled. This is what Mary did when she conceived. This is the conception process so illustrated for us so brilliantly with little Mary, a young girl who said, yes, declare we unto you. What did she say? Be it unto me according to your word. Told that to Gabriel. Gabriel appeared to her. And the moment she said that, boom, it was conceived. You know, a woman can be pregnant for, what, weeks, a couple of months, before she even feels it? Your prayers can be working too. And you don't know it, but you let go of it and you stop looking for it. You stop listening to the word of God concerning that need and you start relying on yourself. And before you know it, you're spinning your own wheels. And the answer is still there, hovering. All of your prayers are still working for you. I don't care if you go back 20 years. They're still on tap with God. He hasn't forgotten one of them. You can redeem all of those too, just like you can redeem time. That which we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship. You know, look at the things that he's saying double. Manifest, manifest. Hear, hear. See, see. Look upon. Look, and fellowship, and fellowship. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This fellowship is the word koinonia. It means partnership. It means the same type of relationship that a beneficiary would have with a benefactor. Did you get that? God is a benefactor. Amen. He hasn't put you to work to earn a whole lot of stuff for him. In fact, he has a difficult enough time getting us to just receive what he's already given us. Yeah. And running with it. You guys here this morning? This is like candles on a birthday cake. I'm telling you, this is time to celebrate stuff. This is time when the Father wants to say, yes, thank you for the happy Father's Day wish. Here's what I want you to do to make me happy, to please me. It's faith in his word. Fellowship, fellowship, fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. Now, if you have joy in your heart, you're going to want, the first thing you do is start expressing joy to who? Other people. You start sharing it. That's koinonia. That's fellowship. Praise God. So with that, say this, process of manifestation. I hear, I see, I meditate, I handle that which I desire, because God's a giver. Amen. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. There's only one chapter, so I just say Philemon 6. They both start with file. Philemon. If you had never read the book of Philemon and did a study on it, you need to do that. It's a really cool book. Okay. Verse 6 says, that the communication of your faith become effective through the acknowledging of every good thing, of every good thing that is in you in Christ. Every good thing which is in you in Christ. We know that that's, number one, it's the Zoe life of God. That's salvation. That's when you became a new creature. This is when your spirit man became that new wineskin that can house God. You think about that. Think about that for 5 minutes. You have been completely refurbished and everything for the very purpose of God to indwell you. You know, you think about those pigs. Remember those pigs? Jesus said he came into Gadara and the demoniac was there. What are pigs doing in Israel? Jesus is kind of kosher. So he said to the legion, he said, yeah, go into those pigs. That's fine. Yeah, you can do. If Jesus answers the prayers of a demon, Won't he answer your prayers? Amen. Demas says, oh, don't cast us into the pit before the time. Oh, don't do that to us. Oh, let us go into those pigs. Yeah, go. I'm kosher anyhow. I don't need those pigs. Amen. That was a little sin city. So, and then they went crashing down. Amen. That's what you need to do with the devil next time he comes to you. Just say, you remember those pigs? They left you with no place to go. And I'm not giving you any place either.
Amen.
Amen. See, that's Romans 6:14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Amen. Boy, we sang that song. Grace holds me now. Not the law, not obedient to being to doing all the 613 knots on a shawl. I mean, you don't want to break the Ten Commandments. No, you don't. But living by them doesn't ever justify you. The only thing that justifies you is the blood of Jesus. So we don't live against the Ten Commandments because you can't do it anyway. You have a flesh. The Apostle Paul had a flesh. We all have a flesh to deal with, and we all miss it sometimes. But that's no reason for us to be condemned. That's a reason for us to come to him, get his word done, and start conceiving in our spirit and renewing our mind and be transformed with the word of mercy and forgiveness and love and power of God and what he did to defeat the devil in the first place and expose him and liberate you at the same time. This was, I'm telling you something. To be in that chamber with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit devising the plan of redemption, no man could have come up with that. No man could have come up with, if Jesus never lived, no man could have ever invented him. Where was I? That the communication of your faith become effective through the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. Better way to read that is because we're in Christ, every good thing that has been deposited in our born-again, recreated spirit, we have everything there that we'll ever need. And as we acknowledge those good things, our faith becomes effective. We have the life of God. We have the fruit of the Spirit abiding in our spirit. We have the mind of Christ. We have treasure in earthen vessels. We have the living God, the living Word of God abiding on the inside of us. And you know where that puts you? That puts you in a really high place. Because if you're walking in the Word, you are walking with the very thing that God magnifies above his very name. Psalm 138, verse 2 says this. I don't think I gave that to you. But it says, For you have magnified your name above your word. I'm sorry, you have magnified your word above all your name. In other words, his name would be no good if his word was no good. If that word lives and abides in you, it puts you in a really high place. That puts you as being one spirit with him. That means that your born again spirit looks exactly, it is exactly like Jesus. This is your identity that releases you from what James called when sin is conceived. It says in James, I don't think I wrote that. I'm getting into an area now. We're talking about conception. I don't think I gave this to you, Barbara, but James chapter 1, and I think it's verse 13, where it says, don't say that when I am tempted of God. For every man is tempted. James 1:13. Let no man say when he's tempted of God, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. You know what this word tempt means? It means to tempt, test, or try. If you're going through a trial, it's not God trying you. It's the devil trying your faith. It's the trial of your faith, according to Peter. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. That means he doesn't vary, he doesn't change. He's always the same. He's not a moving target. He is steady. He is rooted. The truth. He is the God of all truth. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Come down from the Father of lights. I like that. Did you know that you're a light? I don't care if you're white, black, orange, red, yellow, pink, whatever you are, whatever your skin color is, that's not your permanent color. You are going to be see-through. You are a light. And you have yet to be revealed. Your spirit man is a wonderful powerhouse of glory. He's the Father of lights. Oh, praise God. So, here we are. 150 South Washington Street. Here we are. Here we are. Okay, we've got to understand some words here. Let's go back to Philemon 1, verse 6. Barbara. And everybody say, thank you, Barbara. See that? You're welcome. We've got to understand some words here in order for this. We went over this last time, but I believe in overkill. I believe the more you hear it, the more you hear it, the more it'll make sense to you, the more it'll come back to you. The word acknowledge, it means to become fully acquainted with. Our faith becomes effective as we become fully acquainted with every good gift that is in us. It means to recognize upon a certain mark. It means to perceive or establish a perception of. That's kind of cool. Remember, God doesn't speak in words. Well, he does, but he doesn't really speak all the time in audible words. I've heard his voice twice, but for the most part, he speaks through impressions, through quickening of scripture, impressions and intuitions. Here, let me just do this. If I take this pen, let me get the cartridge inside there so I don't get ink on me. If I press this pen down on the back of my hand like this, I'll do this for the camera too. It makes an impression. You see that impression? That's an impression. It's a mark. And you recognize that mark as having come from somewhere other than you. So when God impresses something on you, it makes a mark in your mind, in your consciousness, in your soul, in your emotion. Whatever it is, it makes a mark. That's an impression. Amen. Intuition. I looked this up. Dictionaries tell you a whole lot of stuff. Intuition, one of the definitions is direct perception of truth independent of any natural reasoning process. In other words, you didn't reason to it. It's just an immediate apprehension. You know. You don't know how you know. You just know. It's information that comes from somewhere, maybe from the past in your memory or something like that. Maybe it's God telling you something. An intuition. In other words, it's something that comes that is an immediate apprehension or impression. It begins to establish that impression in your mind. Our immediate attention begins to encircle it, develop it as an image. and it goes into your imagination. And that starts producing hope, a desired result. Hope, hope, hope. But hope alone can't make it come to pass. When I saw Lori, I hoped she would marry me. But it took a lot more than my hope. God told me she was the one when I saw her. The second time I heard his voice, he said, "That's her." Same voice I heard, but 10 or 11 years earlier than that. When he said, "Son, I love you." I was an atheist at the time. But I remember the voice. It was the same voice. I knew it. She didn't know it. She had no idea what was coming. Aren't you glad? Sometimes. But I was impressed. Whither you go, I shall follow. Anyhow, I knew it. I knew it was God. It took a while for it to dawn on her, though. The word communication here is another one. This is koinonia, partnership. This is another, it's also translated fellowship. But more than any other time, any other way, it's produces partnership, it's translated as other things, but it's like 12 or 15 times it's translated fellowship, where the other is like partnership or things like that. Koinonia, partnership, participation, fellowship between a benefactor and a beneficiary. It means communion with. It means social intercourse. You need to take advantage of that. God's leaving the door open. Anytime. Just come to me. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I'm meek and humble. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I am who I am. Amen. You know? And you can have that same confidence of coming to him. Come boldly to the throne of grace. So it's communication. We're looking at this as acknowledging, developing, and fully acquainted with his love, with his joy, with his peace, all the fruit of the Spirit. You know, inside your spirit man, you are perfect. It says we are perfect in him. We are whole in him. We are complete in him. It's outside of our spirit, in the minds, in what we see every day, what we hear every day. The world we live in is a fallen world. It is filled with demons and curses and sin and hatred and bitterness and people jockeying for positions, stepping on each other just to get something. And at the end of it all, what does it mean? Nothing. So we need to see it as that. It's nothing compared to the glory that we have available to us on a moment-by-moment basis. Amen. Does that make sense to you? Come on, guys. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where reality, this is where the truth just blows away every false perception and causes you to stand in the perception of everything that is true, in the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Let's turn to Luke, chapter 1. Like I said, you know, when a woman gets pregnant, she doesn't feel pregnant for a while. The prayers that you prayed, the declarations of faith, the words of faith that you have released have never died. You know, words live forever, and we'll count for every one of them that was void of anything. In other words, why'd you say that? This is where we get lessons in the kingdom of God when we get there. When a woman gets pregnant, she may not feel pregnant, but she is just, you don't get a little pregnant. You ever notice that? You know, you don't get just a little bit pregnant. You don't get just a little bit impregnated by the Word of God either. No, he has a full purpose. Every prayer, every word of faith, this is how it's conceived in you. Just in this Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, that means Elizabeth was in her sixth month of pregnancy. That is a cousin of Mary's. That's what they believe is her cousin. And she was in her old age, and she was barren her whole life. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. By the way, Mary and Joseph, they ought to be your heroes. I'm telling you, you study their lives, they were, this Joseph was amazing. A broad understanding. You know, carpenter? You know what a carpenter was? He wasn't somebody who just worked with wood. A carpenter, there's a Greek word for it. He was a master of everything. He could do all kinds of tile inlays and jewels and everything. He was working from out of Nazareth. He was working at a place about 2 miles away that was a city that the Romans were wanting to build this thing on, which was, they were building something magnificent. That was his job. He was in charge of all of that. It's not just wood. He was betrothed to a virgin whose name was Mary. Verse 28. And he came in unto her. This is Gabriel. Excuse me. He came unto her and said, Hail, or hi. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying. What does it say? She cast in her mind what manner of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Wherefore also the holy thing that is in, which is begotten, shall be called the Son of God. Verse 36, And behold, Elizabeth, this is Gabriel still speaking, And behold, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman, she also has conceived in her that was called, I'm sorry, has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her that was called barren. This is a powerful next verse. For no word from God shall be void of power. When you declare the word of God in your time of need, or before you even have a need, when you declare the word of God in your prayer time, when you declare the word of God, you are invoking something that travels at the speed of light and yet is a shield round about you. He becomes your shield when you declare his word. Why? Because he watches over his word to perform it, the Bible says. And you're going at a pace, your faith is going at a pace that the devil can't even keep up with. He was 2 years late. He couldn't even find where Jesus was born. And that's really mind-boggling, because the night he was born, the angels came and told the shepherds, He's right there in Bethlehem in a manger. There he is. The angels just declared that, said, He's right there. Take your best shot, devil. And yet it was 2 years before the devil even got Herod and all those guys to even show up. And by that time, they were in Nazareth. The devil is not that smart. This is why he hates those mangers. It tells the whole world how dumb he is. It tells the world how inept he is, how lazy he is, how he is not detail-oriented, let's put it this way. He is so filled with rage and hate and pride that he thinks he knows everything anyway, so you can't tell him anything. That's the way people are, who are prideful. Yeah. It's time to just not give the devil enough credit, any credit. He is not, you know, in Isaiah it says, when they see him, when he's revealed at the end of all this, they'll look on him narrowly, it says. They'll say, that's the man that deceived the world? That's the man that overthrew nations? That's the man? That little rat? He did that? Oh, come on. He couldn't have done that. One little lie turns into a big misunderstanding. Turns into a rage and turns into a war fast. Just a little bit of pride, a little bit of arrogance. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said something. What did she say? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. She was impregnated. That word was the seed. When Gabriel gave the word, he was sent from the Father. He gave that word to him, to her, and that word went into her ears. She believed it. She said it. What does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, amen, you'll be saved. The seed is planted. That seed was a seed that is productive, and it got you and it got me, and we're all growing up together. And the devil is working to try to sow all kinds of tares. He's trying, and God doesn't want to yank them up because then he'll yank us up too. So wait till the harvest time, to the end of the world, the rapture. Amen. And then all the tares will be revealed and they're going to want to run and hide because they have nothing to cloak them now with. Yeah. Nothing. I'm excited about some stuff here. You excited? Yes. I'm trying to get you excited as I possibly can. The conception process is not as hard as people have made it out to be. Religion makes this thing so hard. The religious mindsets that we have or had in our life, they try to make this thing so... I mean, look at these huge churches with religious structures that are impossible to heat. They are unfit for human consumption. They have roofs so high that, I mean... Who can use all that space? I mean, it's a total waste. It makes God look like the most impractical person in the universe. A demanding God. I don't know if you're getting anything out of this. This is kind of coming hot off the wire. But you need to understand, this is a very simple process. It's not hard. If it was hard, it wouldn't be fair to anyone. And the reason it's so simple is so you can't boast about it. You can't say, see what I did. Never take credit for stuff like, never take credit for when somebody gets, well, I prayed for that guy for 20 years. You know, I got him into the, no, you didn't. God used your prayers. Praise God for it. And you will be acknowledged in heaven for that. But the thing is, never take credit for it. I heard Keith Moore say this. What about the guy that witnessed to him, who spent time praying for him too? And what about when he showed up at church, the guy in the parking lot that had a big smile on his face? How about the guy, the greeters at the door that made him feel welcome, like Joyce and her team? make them feel welcome and at home here. What about that? What about the usher that got them engaged a little bit? What about all of these things working? What about all of that? What was happening is seed was being planted in him. Seed was being planted, and it was being watered by the word as he heard it, and worship when he heard it. And what happened was, boom, there was something conceived in him that he can't explain, and he felt the peace of God. He knew that something had changed on the inside of him. Like that woman with the issue, she felt in her body that she'd been in. She didn't feel anything. She didn't feel the power of God. What she felt was the result of the power of God, because she no longer had that pressure or that issue. It was dried up. See, the spirit moves in a way that your physical senses cannot pick up. You may feel heat sometimes. Well, that's the result of the power. It's not the power. Jesus said, I felt virtue go out of me. How does that work if you can't feel the power? It's a word of knowledge. It's a word of knowledge. And he started to look around. Who did that? You know, and it came to, you know, he kept asking, who did touch me? Who did touch me? Who did touch me? Who did touch me? Because you can feel when the anointing goes out of you. But the power itself you can't feel. It's the anointing you can. It's complicated. But it's simple. We can't understand it in this, but in the spirit it is just as simple as breathing. Did you know that you are a conceiving machine? You can conceive sin. You can conceive righteousness. You can conceive hatred and offense. You can receive love and mercy. You are bigger on the inside. In fact, you are so big on the inside, to get offended with anything should be beyond your ability. Don't get offended. Don't think you have to answer and put everybody in their place. You don't. No, the politicians do that. News media wants to do that. But we don't have to put up with it. We know who we are. When Jesus was in the wilderness and the devil said, if you're the Son of God, Jesus could have said, what do you mean if? There is no if. I am. No, he didn't start there. He just said, no, a man shouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. But if he was attuned to his physical senses after fasting for 40 days and the devil started talking about bread, you see what he's trying to do? Get your eyes back on yourself, on your needs, and everything else, rather than on the source, rather than on God, and walk with him, and he'll make sure your needs are met. But what happens? We pray, and we ask God for healing. And then what do? We look to see if it worked. No, it doesn't say to look. Turn to Hebrews 11. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. Don't you love these phones? You get their Bibles. You got 100 translations on here. Okay. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hoped for, being the what? The proof of things we do not see. See, you don't need to see. Faith is the proof. Faith is the evidence. Being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact that which is not revealed to the senses. So if you're looking to see, the King James says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you're looking for the results, why are you looking for the results? Because you didn't believe it worked. Faith is the substance of things not seen. You don't have to see it. You've got the title deed right here in the Word of God, which is exalted higher than the name of Jesus, this Word. Yeah, but how does it work? All you have to know is that God is true. It works.
Amen.
I can give you an example of my knee.
Me too.
And so can Alechka. Knees, what is it with knees? I took that Charles Capps book out. I'm just share this with you. You've probably heard it before, but for those who haven't. I tore this cartilage in this knee in 1996. I had it scoped. 2 years later, I tore the cartilage in this knee. I said, you know what, Lord, I'm not going back in there. Either your word is medicine to all my flesh or it's not. And if it's not, then I need to know now so that when I get into something that can't help later on, I just want to take you at your word. So I got that little Charles Capps book, Creative Power for Healing, and I began talking to my knee. All those scriptures in the back, all those confessions in the back, and I was going over it. And I'd say all of those confessions. 20 minutes later, my mind is screaming, saying, are you kidding me? You're talking to your knee? You think talking to your knee? Well, you know what? This knee was made of the soil of this earth. The Word of God is seed that goes into soil. It has to affect it. So he said do it 3 times a day. I was doing it 8 times a day just to get hold of my mind and get my mind saying it. Aren't you supposed to not say repeated things? No, Jesus is talking about those beads and things that you're just doing by rote. No, I'm doing this to build truth into my spirit, man, so that when it comes out, it's going to be coming out in power. Took 3.5 weeks. But I was in the shower that morning, and I said, my knee doesn't hurt. My knee does manifest.
God, hallelujah.
He said, continue in my word night and day.
Amen.
Night and day. Night and day. Continue in my word night and day. Night and day. It says it in Psalm 1. It says it in Joshua 1:8. It says it, basically, it says it all through the New Testament, too. It says it in Proverbs chapter 4. Keep, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That's meditating. That's saying it. Keep them, for they are life to those who find them and medicine to all their flesh.
Amen.
It is medicine. And if you continue in that word and you continue in that word and continue in that word, Jesus said it'll make you free. That is the process. This is a conception process. You're conceiving truth. 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 Think of that. Truth. It's light. If it wasn't for God, there wouldn't be any truth in this world. There wouldn't be any. Thank God for light. Thank God for truth. And He's given it to you. He has gift wrapped it to you.
Hallelujah.
Here it is. The devil would do anything, and he has done a lot of things to get. You go into China with one of these, you'll be arrested. You go into Venezuela with one of these, you'll be arrested. You go into many countries, you will be arrested immediately. Why? Because you have this. Why? Because the devil runs those countries. He's the god of this world. But there's coming a day.
Amen.
There's coming a day when justice will be totally fulfilled.
Praise God.
I won't shed a tear on that day. Now I'm going to say this. This is number 7. How we can be sure that it is God's will for everybody to be healed of everything. Number 1 is God's word is medicine. Number 2 is a strong spirit shall sustain a man in his infirmity. Original creation reveals God's will for us to be whole. Heaven and earth is one when Jesus said, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. It's his will that there's none here. The origin of sickness, the floodgates of iniquity, when Adam let it in here, that a result in sickness. Sickness is of the devil. Now, people get the wrong idea and think, well, if I'm sick, does that mean I'm full of the devil or demons or something? No. It just means that you've received something in the natural, a backlash of all that iniquity. But sickness is authored by the devil. And number seven is we have a covenant of healing. We have a covenant of healing. That means God cannot turn away from that covenant. He said, I think it's Psalm 89. He said, my covenant will I not break. I think it's verse 34. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. Once he said it, he can't change it. And he said, in this covenant, in this inalterable covenant, he said, by whose stripes you were healed. Get that conceived down in your heart. Conceive that word, because no matter what your body says, God's word is a higher truth. It may be true and a true fact that your body is in pain. God, is wrong that you have sickness in your body. That may be true, but there's a higher truth that trumps it, and we agree with that higher truth because we believe this report. Let that word be conceived in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Conceive it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. This is the process. Jesus said that if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. Oh, Jesus is so good. It's as close as your next words. And your next words, and your next words, and your next words, and your next words. The word is near you, even in your heart and in your mouth. The word of faith, which will not return to him void. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, again, for everything that you've done in this service. You know, God sent his word and healed us. It says, Psalm 103 or 7 or... So you go home and don't be surprised if you don't have the same pain you had when you walked in here this morning. Don't be surprised if God's word didn't work like medicine in you, that God strengthened you above that infirmity, that God united you with his heavenly purpose and plan, and that his word did a work in you. Don't be surprised. You don't have to look for it, just don't be surprised. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the power of your word, for the life that's in your word. We ask, Father, for the Holy Spirit to continue working that word in us, to unite with us, to partner with us, to bring that word to fruition, and for that fruit to bear fruit in us, that as we partake of that fruit, that we even have more seed to sow, and more fruit to reap, and more seed to sow, and more fruit to reap. The process of giving and receiving, sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest, the conception process of the word of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. You are dismissed. If you have needs for anything else, come on up, and our prayer ministers.